Yes,
I am.
perfect. I can see you. You are live. We are here. It was frustrating, but we did it. We showed how we can come together in an anxious moment for the community. So, Jeff, firstly, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out to spend some moments with myself and the community and to explain everything that you do. Can we start from the beginning? Are you able to tell me your journey with anxiety and obviously how you set up your business and what was the reason behind it?
Yeah. First, I want to apologize to everyone here. I was struggling a little bit with my phone there. I kept trying to get into the live over and over. And so sorry about the delay for that, everybody. But I did manage to make it. So I got into EMDR completely by accident. I had a really ugly childhood, a worst case scenario childhood that was filled with addicts, abandonment, abuse, and that really started to manifest in my 30s. And I ended up going to see an in-person EMDR therapist. This is in the United States. And I got the idea that someone could figure out a way to put EMDR on the internet. Someone could figure out a way to create self-guided EMDR for things like anxiety, trauma, fear, and put it on the internet. So it was quite by accident that this company, Virtual EMDR, was born. And it's a fluke, really. Over the course of the last 10 years, we've now reached the point where we provide more EMDR sessions than any other organization in the world. So that's sort of how it happened. And it was really through pursuing my own wellness that I got involved in. So.
No, that's wonderful. And for the community who may not be aware what EMDR is and how it can be useful for an array of mental health conditions, are you able to just give a brief explanation?
Yeah. EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is the worst name ever. It was named more than 30 years ago, and clearly the person who named it wasn't quite thinking about it being user-friendly with the name. But basically what it means is by moving your eyes or listening to tones that go back and forth in your ears, you're stimulating the hemispheres of your brain, the left and right hemispheres of your brain. And what they found is when people do this while they think about things that make them anxious or while they think about things that cause them trauma, they start to get relief from those symptoms. So initially when EMDR started being used by therapists in the late 1980s, they were using it on military vets who had PTSD from war. But they found that it worked so well that they started using it for depression. They started using it for anxiety. They started using it for people who were afraid of things or being forced into situation or who had traumas around being a victim of a crime or being a victim of sexual abuse. And it really sort of opened the door for basically millions of people around the world have done EMDR at this point. So long story short, to answer your questions, you think about particular things. So in the case of anxiety, you would think about your emotions of anxiety or things that cause you anxiety. Mm-hmm. While you move your eyes back and forth and listen to tones in your ears, and what will happen as a result of that is the volume will really turn down on that anxiety. Does that make sense?
The volume on the anxious thoughts and maybe the physical sensations of anxiety would start to reduce. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So as a rule, and this is not true in every single case, there tends to be something behind the anxiety. For example, I have anxiety because I know that I need to go to the doctor again next week and get my breast cancer results. Okay. Or I have anxiety because I'm facing a particular situation at work which reminds me of something that happened to me in my past that caused me anxiety in a similar way. So EMDR just makes having to encounter those life situations easier to manage. And it removes the emotional charge from the anxiety. You may still feel a bit of the anxiety, it's sort of an undercurrent, but you're much more aware of it and it's much less bothersome after you do some EMDR sessions on it.
Well, we say that in the anxiety community, the goal of recovery isn't not never to feel anxious again, is to be able to continue to do what non-anxious you would do. So like you say, having that undertone of anxiety isn't a bad thing, because anxiety isn't always necessarily the enemy. And I love what you said about the underlying cause, because even when you're looking at someone who's anxious because of they dealt with an anxiety or panic attack, I can see that it can help those people as well.
By
putting them into situations where they feel uncomfortable. And so how does it actually work? What's the process? Like, have they scanned brains and seen why it's working?
Yeah, so that's such an interesting question. They've done, for example, SPECT scans. SPECT scans are a type of MRI scan that specifically targets the brain. And what they can see on those scans is somebody with really bad anxiety or really bad trauma has all these red areas on the brain that represent overactivity. And within a handful of EMDR sessions, you can see that there's much less red in the picture of the brain. So those old thoughts, those repetitive thoughts about things that make you anxious, they really start to calm down. So, but to your other question is, and I just love this, why does EMDR work? As technologically advanced as we are as human beings, we understand nothing still at this point, and that's just fascinating to me. So we don't understand a lot clearly about how the human brain works, but scientists think that EMDR works much like the process of REM sleep, rapid eye movement, that you go through while you're sleeping. They say that when you're in REM sleep, that's when your brain and nervous system sort of digests the memories of the things that you're going through in your life. So they think that EMDR works under the same premise, but we don't know enough about the human brain to really understand why it works. That being said, there's a ton of studies on it that show that it does work.
No, that's wonderful. And what made you interested in EMDR? What made your path, did you see it in an advertisement? Did someone refer you to an EMDR therapist? What made you go down the rabbit hole?
Yeah, so I had a friend recommend it to me. This is, I think, 11 years ago or something now. I went to some EMDR sessions and started seeing the therapist to address some of my childhood trauma stuff. And I couldn't believe how well it was working. I would go into this therapist's office and do these eye movements and talk about my feelings and think about certain things. And I felt totally different. And I said, this is crazy that this is working. So I continued to do EMDR work. And this is an anxiety issue, ultimately, around my fear of flying. I hadn't been on an airplane for 11 years, and the mere thought of being in an airplane seat and looking out the window and seeing the ground, you know, miles below, would just make my chest tight and fill me with anxiety. And so I did some EMDR sessions on flying as well, and it totally changed the way that I feel about flying. At that point in my life, by the way, like 11 years ago, I had never left the United States, and I've since been in like 30 countries around the world because I'm comfortable flying now, thanks to EMDR. And honestly, it was during those sessions I started to just look at what the therapist was doing, the kinds of questions that he was asking me and saying, you know, someone can duplicate this process. Someone can figure out a way to duplicate the process, put it on the internet, have people do it themselves. And then my next step was I hired some therapists to work with. We got volunteers from the 12-step community, like Alcoholics Anonymous and things like that. People are like, yeah, sure, I'll try your program. You can test it on us. And we were off to the races, self-guided EMDR. We were the first and only company that's ever done it.
That's wonderful. And just looking at my community, obviously, we're a worldwide community. We have people in every country. So if they want to get their hands on EMDR, but like you say, they don't have the resources or availability to go to an in-person EMDR session, Is there any downfalls for it being online, or is all the data that you're seeing and all the results you're seeing just as good for someone who goes through it, a self-help route online compared to in person?
Yeah, so there are some pluses and minuses. So we do a lot of work, volunteer work, actually with the first responder community, people who have dealt with medical disasters and things like that. And a lot of those people tend to be, pardon my expression, but tough guys, sort of, where they don't want to sit down and, you know, tell a therapist their feelings and all that kind of stuff. That community tends to prefer virtual EMDR, online EMDR, because they can work by themselves. They don't have to talk to anybody. They find that it's much more effective. There are other people out there where EMDR with a therapist will be better, especially people who are, you know, not necessarily self-starters, or people who have really complex situations that require a lot more hand-holding, if you will. So there are pluses and minuses to each one. The downside of doing EMDR with a therapist is a course of treatment will probably cost a couple $1,000s. It's a lot of money for the therapist. You know, doing it yourself, you can, you know, like with virtual EMDR, you can do basically all the sessions you want for a month for about $50 US. So the program is, again, is really ideal for some people, not so good for other people. So when people write me and they say it's too confusing, I need help, I need someone to be sitting next to me when I do it, I just give them their money back and have them look up, try to find an EMDR therapist in their area. So there's
pluses
and minuses.
That's really interesting. And where I came and saw the amazing work that you guys were doing is because I could relate to it in my own journey. When I went through a panic disorder, I didn't go and sit down with the therapist. I did self-help CBT, and that is what helped me overcome the disorder. So when I saw that you guys were doing this virtual self-help, and like you say, a really, really reasonable price, where anyone in the world, if they have access to a computer, can really benefit from these resources, I really wanted to chat with you more in depth. So if we speak about EMDR for anxiety, so let's go back to the fear of flying that you used it for. Mm-hmm. What did you see the next time that you went on a plane, and how is it beneficial for someone with anxiety? So when you first went on that plane after the first session, what did you feel, 100 times better, or just talk me through that process.
So earlier in this live, about 5 minutes ago, you talked about how when you worked on the anxiety, one of the things that you talk about in this community is the anxiety is never just magically gone. There's always, I think it's a part of the human condition, is there's always an undercurrent of anxiety that we all have. We just learn to recognize that it's there and, you know, deal with it in more healthy ways and, you know, that, you know, promote a better quality of life. So the first time I flew on a plane since doing EMDR, it was just a couple of hours to flight to Los Angeles. And yeah, I was a bit nervous still. I did the EMDR and everything. And I actually remember that particular flight. You know, I remember looking out the window as we're approaching landing and just feeling a bit uncomfortable, but I was fine. That terror wasn't there. That overwhelm wasn't there. And I would say that even now, I'm not the best flyer in the world. Like, there are people who fly across the world and it's the worst turbulence, the plane's going up and down, and they just literally don't care at all. That's not me.
That's not me, you know, when me either, by the way. That's not me either.
You know, so I have a little bit of anxiety. Most people do on planes, but before I did EMDR, I was terrified by just the idea of getting on a plane. It's like, no way. There's just no way I could do that. And
I was going to say, like you said, before the EMDR, you wasn't able to get on the plane. After doing it, you was able to get on it, go to all these locations. You said over 30. And yes, you're feeling the anxiety. But like we say, anxiety is not the enemy. It feels uncomfortable. At the end of the day, anxiety isn't dangerous. Uncomfortable doesn't equal dangerous. Yes. So I just love that it opened you up to a world that you hadn't been seeing. So you were restricted and not having these life experiences because of anxiety.
Yeah, and you know, that's just one of the sort of miracles that happened to me with EMDR. I would never have the life I have without EMDR. And I'm not referring to starting this company, Virtual EMDR. I'm referring to before I started EMDR, getting EMDR sessions around my childhood trauma, getting EMDR sessions around the anxiety that I felt around flying has changed my life completely. If I didn't do those things, I certainly would never have left the place in the US that I was in. I live overseas now. I'm in Singapore right now. And I've been living here for 8 years. So it's really been life-changing to me, and I feel incredibly blessed to be involved in EMDR and just to be able to help other people is the best part of doing it.
That's wonderful. So you said that, obviously you mentioned that it works well with people with trauma. We know that with anxiety, depression can often go hand in hand. It's often seen as some therapists and some scientists actually see that it could be two sides to the same condition. Does EMDR help depression specifically for some people?
There's so many ways that I want to answer that. First of all, virtual EMDR has different programs or protocols. So if you subscribe to virtual EMDR, you get access to the anxiety protocol, the depression protocol, fears and phobias, grief and loss, trauma and PTSD, and that, then we're coming out with some new ones. That being said, just doing some anxiety is not going to fix your whole life. Just doing some anxiety EMDR is not going to fix your whole life if you still choose to stay home every day and play Xbox all day and refuse to go outside. Now, I'm not saying that playing Xbox is bad. I'm just saying that there's more to working through mental health issues and feeling well and living your best life than just simply doing some anxiety EMDR. So when you say that anxiety and depression are opposite sides of the same coin, yes. And what I would say to people who are using virtual EMDR is to look up the different programs that they have access to and do different sessions on different things. Do some anxiety EMDR on things that you feel anxious about. Do some depression sessions on things that you feel depressed about. Do some PTSD and trauma sessions on the things that happened to you in your childhood that have sort of made you have all this anxiety and depression. Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't just come, generally speaking, it doesn't just come from nowhere. We all have these childhoods that are kind of bumpy. So
there's definitely a nature nurture debate. But when it comes with anxiety, we know that there is specific gene. They don't know the specific gene, but they know there is genes that say that you can inherit anxiety from down, pass it down through the family. And also we know that the way that you've been brought up in your environment also has a massive effect on anxiety. Yeah. And I love what you said. I love what you said there about using it as a tool, that it's not a fix, because a lot of people, and you understand why, they want a take this or do this and the anxiety disappears. Well, we know with anxiety recovery that's not the case.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is another great tool to help you on your road to recovery, and if you use this and more importantly put in the hard work, you'll start to see progress.
Let me give you another example. If I did a bunch of EMDR sessions around my fear of flying and said, hey, I feel better, but then I never got on an airplane, what's the point? And, you know, it's the same with the PTSD and trauma sessions that of EMDR that I was doing around my childhood trauma stuff. If I still dealt with my parents in the same way afterwards, what's the point? I had to make other changes as well. So, you know, in addition to doing EMDR, anxiety EMDR, I mean, there are so many other good things that people can do. They can get into online support groups where they talk to other people and they check in. They can just find good ways to take care of themselves. Even simple things like going out for a walk is really helpful. Those are the things in addition to EMDR that are going to progress people down that road to feeling better.
Yeah, I just saw a great question from one of the community members I wanted to bring to your attention is, first of all, they're saying they love everything that you do and they love the idea of accessing it online. Is there a way that they can monitor the progress as they go along the course?
Yeah, so each EMDR session that you do generates a session worksheet. So you're able to go back in your account and look and say, you know, oh, on October 30th, I was working on the anxiety that I feel about doing an Insta Live with Dean or just whatever it is. And here's how well it worked for me. And here's, you know, what I agreed to work on next. So absolutely. The other really cool thing related to this question that I'm really excited about is, so again, we provide more EMDR sessions than any other organization in the world. And every session, users report different data metrics about how they're feeling before, how they're feeling after, how the EMDR is working. And we're able to anonymously aggregate all that data on like 50,000 plus EMDR sessions and get a clear picture of how well the EMDR is working for people. I wish I could show you right now. I can't on Instagram, but in the back end, the database of virtual EMDR, you can look at graphs that show, you know, over the course of this many thousand sessions by this many people who were working on anxiety, this is, you know, how much better they got over 3 months or however you want to look at the graph.
So, yeah, you can the community knows how much of a data person I am. So it's really exciting. And that's why I wanted to speak with you guys, because I just love everything that you're doing. One of the questions I just saw was, what's your thoughts on the risks of re-traumatizing by using EMDR therapy?
So there's like this rumor that I feel like is sort of started by EMDR therapists that, oh, be careful, EMDR is dangerous, you're gonna re-traumatize yourself and that kind of stuff. The truth is there's never been any sort of research to indicate that EMDR is dangerous in any way. Mm-hmm. And this is partially my opinion, but when you say re-traumatize, what that means is have feelings. And can EMDR cause you to have feelings? Yes. Is that a good thing? Yes. So if you can do some EMDR sessions that are gonna bring up feelings from your past, things that make you feel uncomfortable, which is going to allow your brain to sort of digest those feelings, that's a good thing. So I don't necessarily subscribe to the notion of EMDR re-traumatizing people. I do think though that if people have difficulty, like really bad difficulty feeling their own emotions, virtual EMDR might not be a good fit for them. They might want to go see an EMDR therapist to go down that road instead.
If somebody loves all the work that you guys are doing virtually, do you guys have access to in-person therapy or is it just online?
And we have a network of EMDR therapists that you can find on our website. And these are our people who are part of our therapist directory. We don't refer, I believe you're in Manchester. I was reading about you. I think that's right. We don't like refer you to a specific EMDR therapist in Manchester or anything like that. We leave that to you. But basically the way that it happens is, you know, if you were to start emailing me and say, hey, I'm new to virtual EMDR. I don't know if it's working out. I just don't feel like it's right for me. What I would suggest to you is to look on our therapist directory, find somebody new on Google and find someone for yourself.
Right. That's wonderful. And someone else has just said, how medication has side effects. Is there any side effects with virtual EMDR? And if so, what are they?
They're really, really cool side effects, actually. when you do EMDR, it's so amazing how it affects you. And you really hit home, you really work on some traumatic stuff, there's a good chance that you're gonna go lay on the couch and take a nap because it just impacts your brain and nervous system. Other side effects are just little things. After your session for 10 or 20 minutes, you may feel like you just pounded down a couple glasses of wine. You feel sort of tingly from the constant stimulation to your brain and nervous system. Intense dreams And I don't mean bad dreams, but I mean dreams where the purples are so vivid and you can see the patterns on the wallpaper in your dream. And then you wake up and you say, wow, that was such an intense dream. I can't believe that. And then one other side effect, which is also an awesome side effect that I've experienced many times myself, is the recall of childhood memories. And it can just be little things like remembering the closet downstairs in your childhood home, and you know, your mother had these particular shoes in there, all these memories that were stuck in the back of your head somewhere, but you couldn't access them. It's a really cool side effect that doing some EMDR, you can start to remember those things again, or have access to those memories again.
Someone's just put, dreams are indeed vivid, even 6 months after EMDR. So they've still got vivid dreams.
Wow, 6 months after is really something. I've never experienced that personally. I still use virtual EMDR some now. Let's say that a situation comes up in my life. It's really frustrating. It's really upsetting. I have an encounter with somebody. I don't know. I get in a car accident or something, and I'm just really emotionally charged from it. I can do EMDR to make myself feel better. If I do that, I'll end up having more intense and colorful dreams that night because of the way that it impacts your brain.
That's wonderful. Another question I've just seen pop up, which is, I have three children. Two of them deal with anxiety. I've tried everything, but I haven't tried EMDR. At what age can someone start? So can children do it?
So this is actually the first ever formal announcement that we're making of this. We have just completed designing and testing the virtual EMDR youth program, which is a self-guided EMDR program for people, let's say 10 to 17. And it's just a simplified version of the different steps of an EMDR program that are designed to be simple enough for a kid to read it, for a kid to, you know, type in what's bothering them. They're being bullied at school. They're having anxiety about something. Do the EMDR without having to make a lot of decisions, like all the decisions are sort of made for them. So that new protocol, the virtual EMDR youth program, should be out in about a month or so. It's already done. Like, I could give you a password right now where you could access it. It's just not live on the website and set up.
That's
in that
really
way. So yeah, there will be, yeah, this will be a, you know, virtual EMDR was the world's first self-guided EMDR program, and this is the world's first self-guided youth EMDR program. So that'll be coming out, and people will be able to use it.
I was just going to say, I am a massive advocate of getting the tools to children as early as possible, be it CBT tools, be it EMDR, which you guys are doing, which is fantastic. And just, yeah, giving the kids and the youth the tools that as early as possible and understanding. I've got another question for you, which is, if somebody, do they have to have a problem? So do they have to have anxiety or depression or dealing with trauma to find use out of EMDR? So if they feel like their life's intact, can they use it as a form just to, as better self-care?
Absolutely. So one of the things that virtual EMDR has right now is the standard protocol, which is like an umbrella protocol. You can sort of plug anything into it and do an EMDR session. And one of the things that you can do with that is behavioral improvement stuff. And if, an example of this is, Dean, I happen to know that every single time you play basketball, you miss the shot, you choke, you get all these mind games going, this kind of stuff. It's very frustrating to you. You can do EMDR to manipulate the way that you feel about those moments that you're having difficulty, or even things like social anxiety. Every time you have to go out and speak in front of people, it's very overwhelming, and you want to be better at it because you're really interested in being a speaker. You can use EMDR to modify your behavior. So it's not all about, if you use EMDR in this way, it's not all about, I have this problem, I want to look at this problem, that kind of stuff. You can use it to improve yourself as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really exciting as well. I'm just seeing if there's any other questions that we haven't done.
For me personally,
how do you ensure that you're achieving positive outcomes? So How much should they expect after one session? So if they do one session and don't see a miracle, would you say carry on doing it? It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely, I would say carry on doing it. And here's why. So most people can feel a change after one session. But if you're doing virtual EMDR for the first time, you're going to sort of be reading some instructions and saying, oh, okay, this is the place where I type in, you know, where in my body I feel it. And then you're going to be looking at the software and saying, oh, yeah, here's where I make it faster so that it, you know, and louder so it stimulates more quickly. So the first time is sort of a slower session. It's sort of, and I wouldn't call it a throwaway session. It's just not as effective as the third session. You're going to be able to ignore like 60% of the instructions because you're going to say, oh, yeah, this is the thing where I'm going to type in how I'm feeling about the incident or whatever it is. So I definitely suggest to people that they keep going. If you sign up, by the way, you get it. It's a 3-day trial, so you can use it all you want. You can do all the sessions you want on yourself for 3 days before you get charged. So that gives people an opportunity also to sort of choose for themselves, do I like this? Is it working for me? Do I want to keep going down this path, or do I just want to cancel it and try something else instead? So I definitely would suggest keep going after one session.
What you mentioned at the start of this conversation, you said that, hey, for some people, when they're accessing therapy, it may cost thousands for them to get the therapy and the resources that they need. How have you managed to do it at such a competitive price, such an entry-level price, and pack all this information in for someone? Is that something that was important to you to give this accessible price so the masses can actually benefit from EMDR?
No, that wasn't part of it initially. Honestly, when I thought of this, I had a totally different career when I thought of this idea. And I said to myself, hey, if I can create this and just give it away for free and help a handful of people and have some people out there say, hey, this is cool, this was helpful to me, that's it, goal fulfilled. I never imagined that I would be able to turn it into a business and help people and have clients all around the world and, you know, charge people to do it. So the reason that you can do it for is, you know, unlimited sessions for as little as $50 a month is because there is not a therapist sitting next to you for an hour. There is not a lot of the hand holding that comes with the therapist. You're expected to watch the instructional video on how to desensitize your negative thoughts with EMDR. Watch the instructional video on how to install positive cognition with EMDR. You're expected to, and it's quite easy to do, it's not hard, but you're expected to teach yourself how to do those things and not have a therapist sit next to you and tell you how to do those things. And that's how we can charge, what, 5% or something of what a therapist would charge.
Yeah, well, wonderful. I just saw a great question from someone which said, they use CBT in a very similar way and they find it useful, but the end of the month they have a review with the therapist. They said, would you be open to doing something like that with EMDR? So they do a virtual program, then maybe every month or 2 months they just have like a therapist reviewing it.
Yeah, so that's already happening a bunch, not through our company specifically. Like, we don't have a specific therapist check on our clients, but what we do have, a lot of the people who use virtual EMDR are referred by like traditional talk therapists, right, who say, okay, you know, we talk about your problems every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. What I want you to do is go home this week and do two sessions of virtual EMDR, and I want you to focus on this fear that you're feeling or this anxiety you're feeling. Come back next Tuesday at 3 o'clock and tell me how it's going. Tell me how it's helping you, and then we can continue to plan your EMDR session. We have tons of people who are doing it in conjunction with a therapist, but we do not offer as a company some sort of a thing where, you know, a therapist contacts our clients at the end of the month or something like that to determine how they're going. We do offer EMDR coaching though. The coaching is with different therapists. The reason it's called coaching, by the way, is it's a technical issue. You can't be an EMDR therapist in the United States and then do therapy on people in the UK via the internet. It's illegal. And the way that they've the whole world has gotten around this on the internet is by saying it's a coaching session like that. So we do offer coaching sessions, which follow up on with people in a similar way, but right. those sessions are much more tailored around helping people to build a plan to use virtual EMDR for themselves. Those sessions are not sort of checking on how people are doing after they've been working for a month or going on their own.
Yeah, loads of people are saying how great the price is compared to traditionally going in and seeing an EMDR therapist. And I love what you said there about a multidisciplinary approach, because again, I think with anxiety recovery, it's not just, oh, you have medication or you do CBT therapy or you do EMDR. I think having all these different disciplines, so having a doctor who you check in on with, having a therapist who you check in with, and doing the self-help things such as EMDR, yeah. CBT therapy, exercise, whatever it is that works for you. I think that multidisciplinary approach yeah. is the best approach to recovery, and that's what worked for me.
Yeah, and with EMDR, again, it will turn the volume way down on the anxiety, but you still must get out there in the world and live your life. You have to do things like, do you have a friend that you can go to the movies with and sit and eat popcorn and connect on a human level? You know, regardless of if that's imperfect or not, it's not enough to just do anxiety therapy. You have to get out there and take care of yourself in other ways and engage in your life. That's how you get the real long-term healing.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that just leads me to say, firstly, thank you for coming on, speaking with the community. If people want to see more about the website, how can they follow you? Obviously, this will be saved on Instagram, but is there a website they can go to directly, or is it just virtually MDR on Instagram? What's the best ways for them to contact you?
Yeah, so you can find us on all the major social media channels. We're on Insta, Facebook, Twitter, but our website is virtualemdr.com. And you can find a lot of information there. We have good videos, by the way, on YouTube that walk you through what some of the self-guided sessions are like. And one other thing I really wanted to say, I really wanted to sort of tell that we have is we have, they're free. They're on our website, totally free. These are 11 professional quality medical self-assessment tests. These are the same ones that doctors use, the same ones that therapists use. We have one, it's an addiction self-assessment, anxiety self-assessment, anger, phobias, there's a depression, and you know, these are all the professional level tests. So those, you can find all those on the website as well if you're interested in learning some things about yourself and how you're feeling.
That's wonderful. And I guess they can use that as a benchmark of once they've done some therapy to then redo the test. And does it give like a score, does it?
It does. So yeah, absolutely. The way that these tests work, it's answer this question. After you answer all the questions, it breaks down your answers and, you know, it gives you a score, a severity index for how depressed you are, a severity index for what your anxiety level is, et cetera.
That's wonderful. I might follow up with you on that and just get the link to the anxiety one. I think that'd be good to share in the stories for people to go on and just check what their anxiety level is on the self-assessment.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful that you're doing that side. And also you mentioned about upcoming things. So the youth program, which is very, very exciting. Do you have anything else in the works at the moment, or is that the big one that you're holding on to?
No, we do. It's such an exciting time for virtual EMDR. We have personal performance EMDR, which is sort of what we talked about before, which the idea behind that is I want to start a business or I want to do this thing with my life. And how can I use EMDR to change the way I emotionally feel about it, to change my motivation about it? When I go out on dates, I'm terrified of socializing with another person. How can I use EMDR to improve my performance in these situations? So the virtual EMDR youth program is coming out. Personal performance EMDR is coming out. And then the one that I have to say that I'm honestly most proud of is gratitude and appreciation EMDR. I started about a year ago keeping a gratitude journal almost every day. I filled up, I don't know, 6 notebooks or something. I'm not even sure. Reading books on gratitude, and it has absolutely transformed my life. When I get out of bed in the morning, I'm grateful that I have access to hot coffee and that I have a place to live and food and the people around me are healthy. I'm completely aware of how grateful I am. And one of the things that we started doing was experimenting with how can people use EMDR to install a sense of gratitude into their thought process on a neurological level. So we're coming out with this gratitude and appreciation EMDR. It also includes a whole bunch of gratitude exercises that you'll do right on the virtual EMDR website. So you'll type in your answers, you'll work on the things that you're grateful for, which are, and that's completely not even part of EMDR. That's gratitude journaling, gratitude exercises, gratitude practices. So those are the 3 new programs that they're all coming out in the next 6 months. The first one that's going to come out is going to be the virtual EMDR youth program, though.
I love the idea of gratitude. And I think gratitude gets a bad rep sometimes, because in the anxiety community, a lot of people say, oh, well, I just can't think happy thoughts, or I just can't be grateful for my cup of coffee because I'm dealing with anxiety all the time. But I'm with you on this, which is gratitude and looking at life from a lens of gratitude really helps to reduce that inner critic, turn down the noise on the anxiety. And not only it doesn't get rid of the anxiety, but it opens up the brain to, hey, there's another way of thinking. There's another way of looking and perceiving. So yeah. What would your answer be to them people who say gratitude doesn't work and I can't be grateful because I'm in an anxious loop all the time?
First of all, I would say that it takes practice. And second of all, that I would say, now I don't know who all these people are specifically. I'm going to guess that almost all of them have access to things like food, clean water, a roof over their head, people who love them like friends or family. And they're not even aware how delicious their lunch was today. It's just more food because they have food every day. They're not even aware that there are hundreds of millions of people who don't really have food. And what gratitude does is it just makes you more aware on a consistent basis of all the things that you have access to, things that you don't think about. And it helps change sort of your focus from, I'm anxious about this, I'm anxious about that, too. Maybe I am a little anxious about this, but I'm also really grateful that I have this, or that I can, you know, I have friends that I can talk to about my anxiety or whatever it is. So it takes some practice to make that switch with gratitude. But I will say that for me, a gratitude practice is one of the most life-transforming things that I've ever done for myself. I am constantly aware of how good my life is, even though my life is filled with imperfections and problems.
I love that. And I see gratitude as almost like a form of mindfulness where it brings you to the present, mm-hmm. where you have to be present at the moment. We know that anxiety is all about predicting the future. Well, mm-hmm. if you're being grateful or picking a few things that you're being grateful for each day, that's anchoring you to the present moment, and that will mm-hmm. help with your anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. At no point ever will your life take place in the future or in the past. It will only take place right now. And doing the gratitude work absolutely does that. It makes me aware, just speaking personally, on a consistent basis, how good I have it in how many ways right now. I'm healthy. I can do things. I know people. All the basics of my life, all my needs are taken care of. I'm not rich or famous or perfect or have six-pack abs or any of that kind of stuff, but I have so many amazing things in my life, and gratitude has just made me be aware of those things.
Did you find it hard at first when you did have that inner critic telling you not to believe in the three grateful things, and how did you overcome that step?
So never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be recommending a book, but the way that this happened to me was completely randomly. There's this book called The Magic, right. And this is the same person who did that book, The Secret, and The Magic forces you to do gratitude writing exercises and reading every day for 28 days. And it tells you that by the time you're done, you'll feel differently about your life. And absolutely, it was true. And the first time I worked through the book, it was a bit of a pain in the ass because it's like, oh, I got to sit down with my notebook again and write this stuff out and do all this kind of stuff. But boy, did I start to feel different. And I'll never forget working on this book. The first time I woke up in the morning and I put on my slippers as I got out of bed, and it already hit me how grateful I was. Wow, these are comfortable. And then I went into the kitchen where I have like good quality coffee that I ground, and I made this cup of coffee. I said, this is fantastic. And these were all just things that I'd taken for granted before. So it was through doing these exercises on a daily basis that I really started to feel that.
What do you think the reason is that we take all these things, we just continue and we're not grateful, and we just sort of don't really recognize all the wonderful things that are going on in our lives? What's the reason that you think that we don't stop and it's almost not a default for us?
I don't think that we're taught to.
Right.
I also think that we're in a society where we all think to ourselves, you know, well, why am I not a billionaire? Why don't I have that? Why am I not surrounded by people who adore me? Like just looking ahead to this imaginary future where I am all these things. And by doing that, you're just ruining what's happening right now. So I think that if more people were taught to have a gratitude practice, that it would really change things for people. But I don't think that most people are aware of having a gratitude practice or are aware of how easy they have it. You know, I'm guessing almost everyone listening has a refrigerator that keeps their food cold for days at a time. They don't think about their refrigerator and that their food doesn't spoil. It's just there. But if you think about it, you're so lucky. You have so much technology to make your life easier. You have, you know, even now there are people who walk miles a day just to get water from a river that they can drink. And you and I, what we do is we turn on a tap and cold, clean water comes out. How lucky are we compared to, you know, hundreds of millions of people who have lived in the past?
No, and I think that's a wonderful place to end the live. That just takes me to say thank you very much for sharing all your wisdom. It's been a fantastic live, lots of answers to the many questions. And yeah, I can't wait to share everything that you guys are doing. Hopefully this is the start of a journey we're going to go on together with the community. And also, everyone, if you listen to the DLC Live podcast because you prefer to listen to it instead of watching, that will be available in the next 72 hours. And for everyone else on Instagram who wants to catch up, you'll be able to catch up on Instagram once we finish this live. Jeff, thank you again. I'm very grateful for you coming on and speaking with the community and sharing everything that you're doing. And I can't wait to share more of your work with the community in the coming week.
It was my pleasure. And again, I'm so sorry I was having a technological difficulty getting on. You invited me to the live again and again, and I just kept, why isn't it working? Why can't I get on this? I'm really glad we managed to work it out, okay?
Me too. Thank you again, Jeff. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yep, thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.